Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I'm going to apologize ahead of time, folks, because I feel a rant coming on. There's a few things in pro wrestling that's really starting to annoy me somewhat. Maybe it annoys you, too. Maybe you agree with it. I don't know. I mean, you're free to your opinion, but, folks, AEW has just come out with a list of moves that they've banned or actions that they've banned. Also a list that needs approval before you're allowed to do them. And I'm just thinking to myself, I understand WWE did it too. I understand WWE had a list. Some of those have long been put to bed, though. I mean, Seth Rollins' stomp, they had banned for a while. He does it all the time now. Randy Orton's punt kick, he still does it. Many, many things that the WWE short-term said, now we're not going to do it, and then they just changed their mind. So the WWE's list is really not that extensive. But I'm about to read you AEW's list of things that are banned. We'll go through them one at a time. Now, before we do, I'm going to warn you ahead of time of my views, and my views are probably maybe controversial to you. But my views are as follows. No moves, zero moves, should be banned from professional wrestling. Zero. Now, there should be a caveat that if you are a worker and you object or do not wish to take one, then that's fine. If you say, well, you know, listen, I have a personal, you know, maybe I have a neck injury, maybe I have an arm injury, maybe I have, you know, a little trouble with this or a little something with that, or I'm just not comfortable with this, that's fine. That's fine. But to universally tell people who are, no, you cannot do this, then that takes away the word professional, because basically what you're saying is we don't trust you to do this safely because you're an idiot, because you're not well-trained, because something may happen. Okay, well, here's what I suggest we do then. Starting tomorrow, I think the speed that anyone can throw a baseball should be maximized at 60 miles an hour. Because let's face it, 99 miles an hour and it hits you in the face, you're in trouble. We can't risk that. How can we risk that? That's outrageous. Who would throw a baseball near somebody at 99 miles an hour? That's reckless. Speed limit 65 miles an hour now at NASCAR because, hey, we can't have accidents. We can't potentially have you breaking the speed limit, possibly causing injury. NFL, from this point forward, is two-hand touch. There will be no tackling. Absolutely none. Two-hand touch, that's it. And in hockey, no checking, and if you drop your gloves to fight, you're expelled from the game immediately. How's that sound? Sound okay to you? Oh, and in boxing, you're going to have to use those big Nerf gloves, you know, that are like the size of a giant balloon, like a giant punching bag balloon. And there's no way you're ever going to get a knockout, but, you know, you'll score on points. But this is where we're going, I guess. This is where we're going. Now, I can hear people already saying, but Marcus, wrestlers get injured when they try to do these moves and it's not worth it. Okay, well, then it's not worth it to go to UFC and get punched in the face. It's not worth it to go to UFC and get kicked in the throat. It's not worth it to be a boxer. It's not worth it to be a mixed martial artist. It's not worth it to be a kickboxer. It's not worth it to possibly get on a football field and be injured, right? It's not worth it. We have to adapt to all those. Now, I'm going to run down a list of these. Like I said, I don't think any move should be banned, but I think that some of them are pretty common sense that you don't use them much. Or if you did use them, you certainly are very, very super careful if you're going to use them. Chair shots to the head. As someone who's taken about 400 of them, this is not that bad. I'm sorry. Most people put their hands up. It's a glancing blow. If you know what the hell you're doing, it's not exactly like they just brain you. But okay, you know, if there's someone's not cool with it, we had people in our federation that were not cool with a chair shot to the head, and you don't give them one. But you don't ban it outright. You just say, all right, that person doesn't want to do it. They're not comfortable. I don't want to do it to somebody who's not comfortable. Chair shots to the back of the head. I don't know if I've ever seen one. Unless they're laying on the mat. If you're laying on the mat face down and you're getting the chair to the supposedly to the back of the head, if you watch very carefully, the chair hits the mat and it doesn't really hit your head. The seat of the chair misses your head by an inch or two. As far as standing back to the back of the head, I don't believe I've ever seen it. Buckle bombs. Okay, well, Seth Rollins does buckle bombs all the time. One dude, Finn Balor, got injured when he did a buckle bomb on the outside of the ring, on the ring apron, and that's because Finn Balor decided he was going to look back instead of just trust that Seth Rollins threw him where he belonged. Moves where a wrestler falls backwards into a turnbuckle. Okay. Well, that's a lot of moves. I could argue that you're falling backwards into a turnbuckle when they're whipping you into the turnbuckle. You turn and your back hits the turnbuckle. If they mean falling backwards like Finn Balor drop kicks you and then you hit the turnbuckle so he can do the coup de grace, that's not safe. Here's the one that really floats me. Imitating a concussion or seizure symptoms while selling a move. How is that in any way, shape, or form dangerous? So they're telling you, don't even act like you're hurt. You can't act like you might have a concussion. You can't act like you're having a seizure. And that's why. Because it might offend somebody. Spitting. What happens if you got a mouthful of snot? What happens if you're Mick Foley and your goddamn tooth came through your nostril? You can't spit it out? Bleeding while in the crowd. Well, there goes any brawls in the crowd. Using weapons or projectiles in the crowd, some of that I am not necessarily against. I don't consider that a wrestling move. You got to be careful when you're in the crowd. The reason you have to be careful when you're in the crowd is we live now in a society where people will sue you for no reason at all. So if you just bump somebody in the crowd, if you go to swing a kendo stick and it just grazes somebody's shirt, you hit me, you assaulted me. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be a big deal. You're looking at a guy who used to go to ECW events and the wrestlers knew me. So they would literally pick on my side of the ring. They'd hurl people right over on me. I mean, I'd just go completely ass over end with a guy just doing a flying jump right into the audience, and boom, there goes my chair. I'm on the floor. Chair's all bent. I've got a 240-pound guy on my chest. Back of my head's hit the wood floor of the Jim Thorpe Flagstaff Club, and we'd get up and cheer because it was fun. Can't do that anymore. Throwing anything with blood on it into the crowd. Okay. You know, that's got to be few and far between anyway. taking food and drinks from fans in the crowd. Well, again, this is not a wrestling move. This is logistically probably a problem thanks to our Sue Happy society. Technically speaking, if I'm a fan and I just reach over and grab a fan's beer and toss it on the ground, I could be arrested. That's his property. He paid for that. I took it. I literally stole his property and ruined it. That's actually chargeable offense. So if you're a wrestler and you take somebody's beer and dump it, or you take somebody's beer and drink it, hopefully they're going to react, you know, oh, cool, so-and-so took my beer, so-and-so, you know, had some interaction with me. But in our Sue Happy society, if I want him arrested, he stole my property. So there goes that. So, yes, some of the fans are to blame for some of these. Making contact with fans in the crowd. This one is absolutely unbelievable, and it needs to be clarified. If you cannot make contact with fans in the crowd, how the hell are you going to come through the crowd? You know fans are going to be, you know, high-fiving you or touching you or whatever, and you're going to be touching them. So you're going to have to clarify that. If you mean making contact as in pushing them, shoving them, smacking them, hitting them, I don't think that's anybody's justifying that ever. You can't hit somebody in the crowd unless they've assaulted you first. But they didn't say that. They said making contact with fans in the crowd. So if, I guess if John Moxley comes through the crowd, which he often does, and he high-fives some kid in a John Moxley shirt, he broke the rule. I don't get it. Anyway, those are the banned ones. Now here's ones that need approval. You can do these, but only if it's pre-approved. Spots and bumps on the ring apron or outside the ring. Can't even slam somebody in the ring apron. Kevin Owens would be done. He'd have to get approval for every time he does that bomb on the corner of the ring apron. Table, ladder, or chair spots in and out of the ring. And only allowed with padding. Any elevated spots outside of the barricades, which is dives, ladder spots on stage, around the arena, and places outside the ring. All pile driver stone variations, including a sit-down driver, inverted poison, hurricanrana, and vertebrakers. High-risk dives or top rope moves. Moonsaults, literally moonsaults, 450 splashes, moonsaults. High-risk dives or top rope moves have to be approved. Intentional bleeding of any sort, not just blading. Throwing people into, through, or over the ring steps, commentary table, bell table, or guardrail or barricade. You need to have it cleared to throw somebody into the barricade. You're going to have grown men, professional wrestlers saying, excuse me, in my match, can I please have the following things cleared? I would like to throw him into the barricade once. I would like to do a spot where he takes a bump on the ring apron. Let me think about this. No to the ring apron, because somebody else already got that one. Yes, you can do the whip him into the barricade, but then so-and-so is going to have to not do that in his own. What are you kidding me? Weapon usage, any chairs, pipes, candlesticks, hammers, ring bells, bats, chairs, etc., the belts, thumbtacks, skewers, barbed wire, anything sharp or puncturing, powders, aerosol sprays, or liquids. Throwing any weapon or object, which would be a chair, etc. Pretending to choke or strangle with your hands or a weapon or any spots that require somebody to appear as though they're hanging, like a bull rope match. Injury spots or angles, whether or not medical is involved or called to the ring. You can't pretend you're injured. Any physicality in the crowd or crowd brawling. Any physicality involving referees, managers, extras, celebrities, or a special guest. Well, let me explain to you something. When Shane McMahon busted his ass at WrestleMania, if The Miz and Snoop Dogg weren't able to work that out, That would have been a disaster. According to this, they would not have been able to do that because they wouldn't have had it cleared ahead of time. This is a rather extensive list. And I think this is just flat downright, most of it, Mike, is just flat downright silly.
Right. I mean, we made fun of the whole thing with Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn, right? But what did they do in that match? What did Johnny Knoxville do? He had all kinds of weapons that basically a lot of them weren't used as, have never been used as weapons in a wrestling match before, and he used them, right? Now, granted, it was to promote his movie, but that's neither here nor there. A lot of that stuff would not be allowed under this thing, right? You mean to tell me that if Christian wants to do a concerto in AEW, that's not going to be allowed?
Basically speaking, it has put an end to calling a match in the ring, except for chain wrestling moves. Basically speaking, if I was in an AEW ring with you, and the crowd was chanting, we want tables, and wasn't cleared to do a table, but we said, hey, you know, Mike, you want to take a table? Yeah, let's do it. Okay, no, we can't. We're in trouble. If we do, we'll be in trouble. So we can't call that spot. If we didn't get it pre-approved and you throw me out of the ring and say I'm going to whip you into the stairs and you got to sell that you've got an injury to your arm, no, I can't do that. Because A, you can't whip me into the stairs without pre-approval, and B, I can't pretend I'm injured. Here's the problem. And Derek has this exactly right in the chat room. Do you know how many hardcore matches I did in my lifetime? A lot. Some of them involving fire, glass tables, thumbtacks, ground glass, you name it. You know how many times I was injured? Zero. I mean, seriously injured. Yeah, I had, you know, rips and tears and, you know, things like that. But as far as, like, got to go to the hospital, zero. Doing regular wrestling, trying to be super careful, that's when you get hurt. That's when you get hurt. When you are literally in that ring saying, I got to be super careful, I got to try, you can't do it. That's when you're going to get hurt. You can't have these guys in there not being able to call their match on the fly. You can't have these guys in there saying, I have to be super careful of this. Oops, I can't do that. I got to second guess this. I can't do that. What are you doing? I know WWE has some rules too, and some of them are stupid. And I've just told you, I don't believe in any rules. When it comes to that, the only things that I will back up are the Federation's individual policies when it comes to the crowd, because the crowd, that's not a wrestling move. It's not a wrestling move to say I'm going to take a fan's hamburger and take a bite of it and spit it out on them. Well, most fans would consider that, wow, it was fan interaction. Isn't that awesome? But some fans would say, oh, I'm suing him. Spitting is assault, and he's just assaulted me, plus he stole my hamburger. And truthfully, yeah, that's a crime. So if you want to be all bitchy about it, you could probably press charges. So if a federation says, I don't want you doing that because it's just more hassle than it's worth, okay. Well, that doesn't really interfere in my match any, so I don't really care. But when you tell me I can't even throw somebody into the crowd because I might make accidental contact with a fan, fans make accidental contact with you all the time. They slap you on the back or they, you know, whatever they're going to do, try to high-five you or whatever. Of course you're going to make incidental contact. You can't do that. That's crazy. You can't act like you're injured. Now, they're saying, oh, you can act like it hurts. You can sell a move. You just can't sell an injury. So, in other words, I can't jump off the buckle, pretend I blew my knee out, screaming and yelling, holding onto my knee, rolling out of the ring, having the, you know, maybe having the medical doctors come over, and me refusing to give up and say, no, 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 I'm still going to wrestle. And then, oh, well, you know, he lost, but the only reason he lost is he was trying to work with one leg and he was too stubborn to give up and his opponent took advantage of it. You can't do that angle. Oh, you can if you clear it. Wow. This isn't even professional wrestling anymore. See, this is the problem, folks. My analogy about baseball and hockey and football is a good one. Every single time a baseball player steps in that box, and I don't care what anybody says, a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, if it hits you directly in the forehead between the eyes, it might kill you. You know why they don't ban it? Because they trust that the baseball pitcher is skilled enough to not hit you in the face. That's why. So now we're saying, well, we want wrestling to be on the same par as UFC and all these other sports. Well, UFC, you can kick somebody right in the face. For real. Right in the face. So you're not on the league with them. At all. Now, I can see a company saying, here's lists of moves we will not insist you take. If you don't want to take a pile driver and somebody's move is the pile driver, just tell us and we'll work out the match so you don't have to take the pile driver. And any wrestler who says, I don't give a damn, I'm still giving it to him, okay, well, then you're reckless. I've never done that in my life. I've had people say, I'd rather not take this move. Okay. Then I won't give it to you. But you can't just arbitrarily say no one can ever take the move because somebody might screw up. Well, then basically what you're saying is you're not a professional. You can't do a pile driver because we don't trust you to do it right. Because once somebody was badly hurt, or twice somebody was badly hurt with a pile driver. Okay. Well, once or twice a baseball player was killed when they got hit in the head or concussed or badly injured, right? Should we ban that? There were drivers who were killed in NASCAR. Should we ban them and make a speed limit? Things do happen. I got a news flash for you. Tiger Woods takes a driver and hits that golf ball, and it goes awry and hits some old man between the eyes who's standing 6 feet away from him. He's probably dead. But they trust the professionalism to say, well, that's not going to happen. This is ludicrous. This is basically just saying, look, it's no longer professional wrestling. It's just you guys doing a little play fighting in the ring. And we don't trust you to do, don't play rough, punish you, because this isn't about playing rough. This is about being politically correct and not doing anything. You don't believe me that's politically correct? How come you can't fake having a concussion? How come you can't fake having a seizure? Who does that injure? Doesn't injure anybody. You can't whip somebody into the guardrail. Why? I got news for you. Those ropes are steel cables. They hurt. Go ahead and try that sometime. There are a lot of people who don't step in a wrestling ring. They don't realize that. The first couple times you hit those ropes, you don't hit those ropes right. That hurts. The barricades, they're all padded. I have a problem hitting the barricade. Hell, we saw people go upside down. The Miz this week went upside down into the barricade. You can't slam somebody in an announcer's table? Those announcer's table are like made out of that stuff like your garbage can's made of, those that heavy, hefty plastic stuff. It's not even a wood table, for God's sake. Shane McMahon's not even a wrestler, does an elbow dive off of it and crashes through the damn table, and he's fine at 50. You can't do that, huh? I don't know what to say, Tom. I mean, I don't think this is good for wrestling.
No, and you know, when I first heard this, when I first read this list, some of the sources on the internet I don't really buy because I think some of them are satirical, or they're meant to be satirical. I read this article with these moves. I thought it was hilarious. Some of these things that they listed were just outrageous. I was like, are you kidding me? This must be satirical. And I kind of just brushed it off. And then I clicked on the title of the show today, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is legit. It's actually, as a former wrestler and as a fan, it's truly insulting. Are you going to tell me that a professional wrestler who is skilled and goes through training for, you know, however many weeks, is no longer allowed to fake or, fake a head injury? Why? Because there might be somebody in the crowd.
You can't fake an arm injury. It's not just a head injury. I said you can't fake an injury that, like, whether or not it requires, like, medical staff to come over. You can't fake it. So, in other words, I couldn't fake that maybe I broke my arm. Remember how many times, well, what was it, though? They said, oh, he's definitely broke his arm recently in WWE. Oh, it was Cody Rhodes, right? You couldn't do that. Brock Lesnar broke his arm. You can't do that. But what makes it worse, and this goes to Derek in the chat room's point, what makes it worse is you can't call a match. So you're going to be extra careful, and that's usually when you get hurt, is when you're being extra careful. So the thing is, I can't call a match. I can't read a crowd anymore. The crowd's chanting, we want tables, and they said, well, we've only cleared you for a kendo stick. So you can't do the table. Why? Why? We can't take the incentive and say, there's a really hot crowd tonight, let me throw you out into the audience, and we'll exchange a few punches out there and then come back. Oh, no, can't do that. Didn't clear it. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to whip you into the stairs now. No, we didn't clear it. We'll get in trouble. Oh, that's right. Well, I'm going to give you a buckle bomb. Oh, no. That's banned, remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, hell. I just got hit really hard. I got to spit. I got to spit out some blood. I think you busted my lip open or my mouth on the inside or my tooth. Oh, you can't spit. Oh, yeah. You can't go through this with this many rules in your head. You can't go out there and call a match if you say, wait a minute, what can I not do and what can I do? I'm a little confused. I can do this, but I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I have to clear this, and this is only okay if it's cleared. This is never okay. This is ridiculous. It's ludicrous. Never heard anything like this before, Todd. I know WWE has some of them, but nothing like this. This is extensive.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, excuse me. Like you said about these rule changes, to me, like you and Tom just said, it's ridiculous. And it's insulting, not just to me, to you and Tom as well. And, you know, it's some of these rule changes in AEW or any other wrestling federation or any other sport, it just makes me angry with that.
This is a ridiculous effort to make the sport more safe, and it's not supposed to be safe. See, this is the thing. The reason professional wrestlers are a rare breed is because they do things that you say, that's not really that safe. Your risk of injury is higher than normal. Okay, I give out coffee at Starbucks. I work in an insurance office. I'm, whatever. I push carts. My risk of injury isn't too high. I go see you guys and you're, doing a dive into the audience and stuff. Whoa, man, I could never do that. I'd kill myself. Yeah, that's why we go see those people. I can't tell you how many people I had come watch matches that I was in saying, I would never do that. I would never do that. I would never launch myself into barbed wire or be power slammed through a glass table. That's crazy. Okay, well, that's why you came to see me, though. If you take away everything that separates why professional wrestlers are a different breed than other people, then there's no point. There's no point. I never heard one time had a guy come up to me and said, I would never take a Beal Slam. I would never take a headlock. I would never take a leg dive or a Russian leg sweep. I've never heard that. Because all those people would. It's not special. That's why people go see NASCAR. They're like, I could never get behind the wheel of a car and go 185 miles an hour. I'd be terrified. I don't know if I could control it. Those guys are a rare breed, right? Or I don't know if I could ever stand in there with a pitcher throwing 97 miles an hour right under my chin. Yeah. Or I don't know if I could be on a football field where you have 280-pound guys looking to just crush your bones. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why you are special. If you want to take all that away and say, we're going to make the rules so pretty much anybody could do this and anybody would be fine with it, okay, well, then they're not going to be special. This is the point I'm trying to make. Mike, you got to let wrestlers be wrestlers or this is not going to work out.
Absolutely, and think about it this way. After what happened with Owen Hart and Stone Cold, with basically it was a botched tombstone that cost Stone Cold some of his career, right? Yep. They banned the tombstone, power driver, you know? And think about this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't one of the Young Bucks' move basically a power driver? Isn't one of FTR's moves like the spike power driver? You know, if you got to do this, you got to take one of the moves from their repertoire that they use as a finisher. You know, now will it affect these two teams? I don't know, but basically that's what you're doing with them. And I remember we on this show when Karrion Kross got sprayed with what appeared to be pepper spray, we praised Karrion Kross for selling it. Right?
Yes.
So that type of stuff is outlawed now. That type, you want...
Yeah, or at least you got to get it cleared. See, that's the thing. At least you got to get it cleared. It's ludicrous. People don't have time to go through their matches and say, can we clear this? Can we clear that? What happens if I said, look, I want to do this match. We're going to start out in the ring, and I'm going to throw you on the outside of the ring. I'm going to give you a slam on the outside of the ring, pick you up, throw you head first into the ring stairs. Then I'm going to pick you up, throw you into the barricade on the outside of the ring. I'm going to come with a clothesline. You're going to back body drop me into the audience. We're going to fight a little bit in there. Then throw me back over, pick up a chair, and give me a headshot with it, throw me in the ring. There are about 9 things in that series of maybe 2 minutes. We can't do them. Some we have to clear. Some we can't do it all. How can we possibly gauge the room? All the time, if you're a wrestler, you will hear, read the room. Read the room. If the room is not – I've been to wrestling matches where hardcore guys tried to do hardcore stuff, and the room doesn't like it, and the room didn't want to see it. And so these guys are, you know, risking injury, and nobody's digging it because they don't like hardcore wrestling. Then I've been to places where these guys are putting on a wrestling clinic and people are like, we want a table. You have to be able to read the room a little bit. You have to be able to modify your match a little bit. If there's a million rules, I don't want to compare the two things, but how would you like to begin to have a sexual relationship with a girl, or if you're a whatever man, it doesn't matter. How would you like to begin to have a sexual relationship and have that person pull out a thing and say, the following things you can't do. You can do this if I say yes. You can't do this at all. This you can't do. This maybe, but I'd have to consent to it. This no. This yes. This only in certain times. This one time only. You'd say, well, just forget it. Put your clothes back on. I can't keep all this straight. I'm bound to make a mistake. And when I make a mistake, then you're going to say, why? I did something that you didn't want me to do. Well, that's going to be the same way with wrestling. Wrestling's like a dance. So is sex like a dance to a certain extent, right? So you're in there with a wrestler and you say, oh, let's do this. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, well, I did that. Shit, I did it. God damn it, I forgot. You can't have this. No moves should be banned. Policies are okay. You don't want any fighting in the audience at all? Fine. That's your policy. Then we all know it, and we won't do it. That's easy to remember. But no moves should be banned. If the individual wrestler does not want to take the move, then the individual wrestler should not be forced to take the move. And I don't think I have ever heard in my lifetime of a wrestler telling another worker, I don't want to take this move, and having the wrestler say, too bad, I'm giving it to you anyway. I don't think I've ever heard that. At least nowhere I've ever been. So I don't get this. This is baffling to me. Don't ban any moves. People, you're not going to use it unless you're very proficient at it and your opponent, partner, agrees to take it. That's all. Finn Balor got hurt getting the buckle bomb. He still took it. Seth Rollins gave him a couple of them. John Cena had to have his nose surgically repaired from a knee. Are you going to ban a knee? Ox Baker killed a man. I believe he landed on his neck accidentally with a knee drop. You going to ban a knee drop? I killed somebody. You can't do this. I'm sorry. You can't do it. Second thing I wanted to talk about that's hurting professional wrestling, in my opinion, and this is going to be, unfortunately, this is going to be a little bit of a rant.
Marcus Kane's Don't Get Me Started.
Okay, here's the deal, folks. I understand very clearly that wrestlers do not want to be met by 7,000 people at an airport at 2 o'clock in the morning with 500 action figures saying, could you sign all 500 of these so I can make a living on eBay? That's outrageous. It should not be condoned, and I do not blame any wrestler for saying, fuck off. I'm not doing that shit. But let's look at the other side of this. If you go to a wrestling convention, there are times when wrestlers will say, if you want an 8x10, it's $40 for me to put my name on it, scribble my name on it. If you want your name on it too, which actually could be less money because now you can't sell it. Now it's definitely just for you, and it should be a compliment to the wrestler. Oh, I want an extra $10 to put your name on it. An extra $10 to put your name on it. Oh, you have a pop figure? That's $40 more. You want a picture taken? That's $40 more. Oh, you got your brother and he wants a picture too? Well, it's $25 an extra kid. What in the goddamn hell is wrong with you people? Number one, it doesn't make a difference what the hell you scribble your name on. I don't care if somebody wants an 8x10 or they want me to sign a goddamn army tank. If you back the fucking army tank into the goddamn thing, I'll sign it. It's still my name. That's all it is. It didn't take any more effort for me to sign that than it did an 8x10. Oh, but you might do something with that army tank. I want a piece of the action. Why? We're not already giving you enough piece of the action? So let me get this straight. Some dude comes in, just wants your picture. It's $40. You want it to Todd, it's $50. Some 9-year-old comes in, figure, and it's $75. That's a pop figure. I don't give a fuck what it is. Sign your goddamn name. It's one name. It's ridiculous. And the prices are getting out of control. Conventions. I'm really an autograph guy. I have a lot of wrestling autographs. I've paid for very, very few of them. Just a couple. Select ones. The rest of them, if I don't get them for nothing, I ain't paying. But the bottom line of the situation is this. I understand there's a market. I understand that there are some people out there who sell action figures and pop figures and different things with wrestlers' names on it for big money. Gotcha. But the vast majority, you can't punish the good people for the behavior of a few bad. So if you got some guy there and he's 50 years old and he's got 7 pop figures and he says, could you sign all of these, please? I know it's annoying. I know he's going to sell them. You know he's going to sell them. Why do you care? He's at a convention. What do you care? What do you care what he does with them? It's not your business what he does with them. If you want to do that, just say we're limiting it. Only 3 items per person. No more than 3 items are being signed at one time. No more than 2 items are being signed at one time. Whatever you want to do. But you don't price it like that. So you got some guy with a wheelbarrow full of pop figures who's going to put them on eBay, and you say, I want $75 a pop figure for signing those. And then you got some poor little snot-nosed 9-year-old who thinks you're God, who says, I don't have $75. Could you sign my pop figure? No. Screw you. You wouldn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out if it wasn't for the fans. Stop already. Put your damn name on whatever. Okay, so there's some idiot's going to make some money off your back. He's a sleazeball. I get it. Move on. But you can't punish little kids for it. And if you do, you're a scumbag. Tired of it now. I'm telling you, you know why there aren't wrestling fans? I'll tell you why wrestling fans are fading out. Because families used to be able to say, well, I'm going to go to the wrestling matches with my kid. My kid loves the wrestling, and I'll get him a shirt and a foam finger. Now they have wrestling conventions. Oh, here's the packages. So-and-so for an 8x10 is this much money, and for an 8x10 with your name on it, it's this much money, and if you want them to put personalized, like best wishes or to my pal, that's more money, and then if you've got a sibling and you want them in the picture, you've got to give me an extra $20. Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come with a calculator. What the hell's the difference how many people are in the picture? It's one picture. So you got a guy with 6 kids, and he's got to keep doling out the $20 bills. For what? You can't get any greedier. I'm tired of it. It's exploitative. That's what it is. You're exploiting your own audience. Stop it. And by the way, I would, if I were in a position where people were asking me all the time for my autograph, I'll tell you what I would do. I would make an example of it. If you got some guy and he says, can you sign these 40 action figures of yourself? I'd be like, no, I'm not. But if there was a kid saying, I got one, I'd be like, yours, I'm signing. And I'm signing it right in front of this guy, and I'm telling him, you know why I'm signing this? Because this is a fan, and you're not. However, if you want me to sign one, I will. But I want your name, because I'm putting your name on it. That ends that. And you don't look like a dick. I've heard too many wrestlers say, well, if I sign it for the kid, I have to sign it for the adult. No, you don't. Just sign it for the kid. What are you trying to fool? The day you turn down a kid with an autograph book or a pop figure or an action figure or a slip of paper, the day you do that, go home, get yourself a job somewhere else, and forget trying to be a wrestler or an entertainer or anything else, because you've lost your soul and it's not worth it. The day you have to have a calculator for a family to come in and enjoy an experience where their children meet a wrestler. That's when it stops being fun and it becomes exploitive. You're exploiting people. And quite frankly, Tom, I'm tired of it.
And you hit the nail on the head. I'm right with you there, my friend, because let me tell you what, that 9-year-old kid who's asking for your autograph and you refuse, that's going to stick with him. The 50-year-old might not care, but the 9-year-old's going to stick with him. And what's the 9-year-old going to do? Hey, I went to go on Facebook or Twitter or any kind of social media and go, hey, you know what? I was at a convention today, and so-and-so snubbed me for an autograph, and he was real mean. Guess what? His stock is going to go down. And guess
not only that, but how many times have we seen pictures of guys like Edge or Kevin Owens or people saying, here I am, you know, getting an autograph from Bret Hart when I was a kid. Here I am getting an autograph from so-and-so when I was a kid. It was a positive experience, and they became a wrestler. You never see those kids who say, well, I tried to meet my favorite wrestler, and he basically blew me the hell off, and now I don't watch wrestling, or I'm not even interested in wrestling anymore, Mike. But I'm sure that there are quite a few incidents where things like that happen.
You know what? That was what you're exactly talking about was the original angle they came up with Bayley, right? She was just a fan. She fell in love because she, you know, got an autograph or whatever from her favorite wrestler at the time, and this, that, and the other. That's what they were doing with Bayley. And you're right. I remember, this had to happen 15, 20 years ago. There was a independent show that took place in my little town, and I knew the guy that went that ran the show and all that stuff, and this the promoter or whatever, you know. But what happened is he had Shane Douglas come out, because this was at the time when Camille and with the NWA and all that stuff, and Nick Aldis is what I'm thinking of, and Shane Douglas was there signing autographs. People went up to sign. I knew who he was, right? But a lot of the people who went up to sign, have him sign, didn't know who he was. He was just signing Shane Douglas. So I go up to him and say, hey, Shane, can you sign that picture for me and put on it, you know, Mike, welcome to the Triple Threat, Shane Douglas. He did it, and he did it for, I think he was signing it for, I don't know, $30 or whatever it was, but, you know, at the time, but he did it. You know, I had him personalize it to me, you know,
right.
And he did it. You know,
and look, I'm not trying to say wrestlers shouldn't charge. The picture costs money. I get it. Your time is worth something. You're sitting at a convention for 3 hours signing autographs. The pictures at the table cost money. The promoter paid you probably. A lot of the times the wrestler has already paid, and it's just, the promoter who's making money off it. Then in that case, it's the promoter's greed. But then you got to be the wrestler who says, look, I don't want you to charge more than a certain amount for my autograph. I'm not doing this nonsense of if there's two kids in the picture, it's double the money. I'm not doing that. So what can we do to negotiate this? If I'll come a little cheaper or whatever, but I'm not pulling your this is my stipulation. I'm coming for this price. I'm not charging extra for personalization. That's dumb. I'm not charging extra for an extra kid in the picture. That's dumb. I'm not charging extra if it's a pop figure. That's dumb. It's one price. That's it. The price for the autograph. It's a price for the picture, and if you want to do a combo package, I'm cool with it. But everything else is the same. I don't care whether they come in with a baseball bat or they come in with a magazine or they come in with a Nestle Crunch wrapper. It's all the same money. I don't care if they want their name on it or they don't want their name on it. It's all the same money. I don't care if it's a family with three kids or it's a kid by himself. The picture's the same money. Why is it more? Greed is why it's more. Because it doesn't take any more effort. If I'm scribbling Marcus Cain on a picture, I'm scribbling Marcus Cain on a ball bat, what the hell is the difference? If Todd's in the picture or Todd, Tom, and Mike is in the picture, what the hell is the difference? There is no difference. They're just trying to squeeze that last little bit of money out of you. And if it's the promoter who's doing that, who's already paid for the wrestler, then it's the wrestler's job to say, no, I don't work that way. If you want to hire me, fine, but this is my stipulations. I don't charge extra for this stuff. I'm not going to do it. Period. I mean, at some point, folks, I feel sorry for the wrestlers who are ambushed at airports. Like I said, I feel sorry for that. That's crazy. I wouldn't put up with it either. But if you're sitting there at a convention, I don't care if you've already been paid your money. If you're sitting there at a convention and you see that price list, and some kid says, would you sign my pop figure? Okay, but that's an extra $25. Could you put To Johnny on it? Well, that's another extra $20. Now, are you sick? What the hell? How many $20 have they put in your pocket by coming to see you? Knock it off. Holy crap. And if the wrestler's asked to sign autographs through a promoter is that high, then the promoter's got to come back down to reality and say, look, pal, I'm not doing that. You're not worth that. All I'm going to charge is this much money for your autograph. No, everybody's got to be greedy. This is why fans are getting sick of things like this. It's the same way in baseball and everywhere else. It's the same thing. It's ludicrous, and it's not fan-friendly. And then I know exactly what happens. The ball players, the wrestlers, everybody says, it's not my fault. The promoter gave me one money, and whatever his rules are his rules. No, that's not true. Because when you're negotiating with that promoter, you can tell them, this is the only way I sign autographs, my friend. I don't charge extra for personalization. I do not charge extra based on what I'm signing. I do not charge extra for extra people in the picture. And I'm just not going to do it if you do. That's it. And I don't care what anyone says. Yes, if I got off an airplane at 3 in the morning and there were some kids, I don't know why they're there at 3 in the morning, but if there's some kids there with a pop figure that wants me to sign it, I'll take a second and sign it. If there's a guy there with a truckload of them, no, I'm not. I'm going to tell him, you're a hustler. Knock it off. But I'm not going to say, well, if I sign one for the kid, then I really have to sign one for the hustler. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's you lying to yourself. That's you trying to convince yourself that what you did was right because you know you're a scumbag. I'm justifying it. You see, if I stopped for a moment and signed it for that little girl, I would have to sign it for this grown man. No, you don't. Get over yourself. Todd, this is a bad thing for sports in general, but it's hurting wrestling particularly.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this signing or getting autographs, signing and everything. When we went to where the Impact Wrestling was, TNA Wrestling, we got you, me, the two other guys we used to go with. Used to get a group picture for one whole price.
Absolutely correct. TNA did it right. You're right. You're right to praise them. When TNA had their events, they said, you can come into the ring and get a picture taken with like three of the wrestlers. There'll be three wrestlers in the ring. All of them will be in the same picture, all three wrestlers. Doesn't matter if you're a family of 10 or you're a solo person, it's one price. That's very fair. TNA did it the right way. Nowadays, it would be like, well, how tall is this girl? Well, then she's an adult, technically. This is just ludicrous. So what do we got now? We got wrestling federations who have a laundry list of things you can't do at all, ever. Things you can do only specifically if you are cleared to do them. Things you can do if no one else on the card has already done it. Things you can do, but only in this situation. You've got conventions where if you're a family, you can't afford to take both of your kids because, God forbid, they both want autographs and pictures. This is not fan-friendly. This is the destruction of professional wrestling. And until people stop, until people just say, I'm not paying that, or until people say, I'm not watching this, Ben, if you're not special, if you can't do these moves, they got high-flying moves, Ben. You can't do a 450 splash. You can't do a moonsault without it being cleared. Holy crap. Anything dangerous is no longer allowed in professional wrestling. Well, then what's the draw? I thought professional wrestling was supposed to be dangerous, and that was the draw. The danger out of professional wrestling. Oh, that's a good idea, yeah. Let's go to the circus and watch the guy that walks the tightrope, and 3 feet underneath him will put a gigantic, big, blow-up marshmallow. So it really doesn't matter if he falls or he doesn't. Hell, I'll walk the tightrope if you're going to do that. I'll probably fall, but what's the big deal? So I fell into a marshmallow. The whole idea behind watching the tightrope walker is saying, Jesus Christ, man, if he falls, right? But he doesn't fall because he's a professional. And you say, I could never do that. And that's why you pay the money to see it. I don't know, Mike. I don't think this is going to help AEW much.
I don't think it is either. And that's the thing. And I mean, look, I can name you three guys that two of them basically use a kick to the face in the WWE. And one of them uses what he terms as the skull crushing finale. And that's a,
yep.
That's a move. That's basically a front DDT or whatever it is that is basically a move to the head, right? So
yes.
You're telling me if the Miz or who we know works right and Sheamus slash what's his name Drew McIntyre decide, oh, I'm gonna go to AEW. AEW is not going to allow them to use their finishers.
You're right. And listen, wasn't it AJ Styles who hurt somebody with the Styles Clash, I think was it in Japan or something, because the guy tried to tuck his head. And you're not supposed to tuck your head. So you don't ban the Styles Clash because this guy didn't take it right. That's a very easy move to take. Very easy. You do nothing. Watch very carefully. Your opponent doesn't have to do anything. Just keep your head right where it is. AJ Styles takes care of all of it. It's an easy move. Same way with the curb stomp. I'll take the curb stomp 1,100 times, and I won't be injured once. It's the easiest move to take in the world. Not dangerous. This is crazy. You can't even fake an injury. You can't sell. You can't sell that I've dislocated my shoulder. I can't walk on my leg. Oh, you can't do that. Somebody might get upset. Holy crap. Holy crap. Do you remember when Jake the Snake Roberts was blinded, supposedly, by Rick the Model Martel, and Jake Roberts couldn't even see? Didn't know if he was going to get his vision back? You can't fake that anymore. It's just crazy. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.